Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. This week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to be doing a special show. It's a rebroadcast of the September 2nd, 2015 Maine Public Broadcasting Network's Maine Calling program. The topic was the modern job search. We had guest David Chulo, president of Career Management Associates, and of course, your host of the HR Power Hour. We also had Ben Naveau, an employment and training specialist with the Maine Department of Labor, and Joanna Major, the president of Cornerstone HR. We're going to talk about how the job search has changed in our age of LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can get great tips today on finding your next right job. Enjoy the show.
Pounding the pavement and keyboard, looking for work in 2015. Looking for a job today is not the same as it was 20 years ago. Technology offers new, more efficient ways to connect with potential employers. The internet also makes it easier to demonstrate the qualities that make you a better candidate for the job. But our interconnected world can cut both ways. Employers can find out a lot about you just by doing a simple Google search. And resumes that were once piled high on desks and pored over by human eyes are now scanned through computerized screening programs with electronic filters searching for keywords. But still, some of the basics remain the same. I'm Keith Shortall, and today on Maine Calling, we'll explore the changing world of the job search with a panel of three experts. We'll find out about what's changed and hasn't changed in the game of getting hired. From the MPBN studios, I'm Keith Shortall, and this is Maine Calling. Not too long ago, you applied for a job by filling out an application or sending in a resume. Today, many companies require you to fill out forms online. Resumes are still sent, but electronically, not via U.S. mail. Today, we're going to learn more about how the modern job search has changed and what steps you can take to up the odds that you get noticed by the right people. With me in our studio, Joanna Major. She's a certified senior professional at Human Resources and president of Cornerstone HR. David Chulo is president, Career Management Associates, and host of the HR Power Hour radio show. And Ben Naveau is an employment and training specialist with the Maine Department of Labor. As always, we want to hear from you. The number is 800-399-3566. Again, that's 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mpbn.net, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Welcome, everybody, to Maine Calling. David Chulo, let's start with you. I think we're aware that applying for work is different than it was the last time I applied for a job, which was 1989. The world has changed. There's new technology. But run through some of the basics about what's different than it was maybe even a few years ago.
Sure. I will tell you that in the last 5 years, the biggest changes have been on the online process. There are many companies that won't even accept a resume sent in. It has to be done through an online portal, has to be done through some sign-up in terms of their online system. There are required fields. Sometimes there are assessments you have to take online. So a lot of it is done now what you would say impersonal. There are ways around that, and I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit today, but that is probably the biggest major change that has happened is that a lot of companies have, because of the last 5 years, a lot of resumes coming in, gone to electronic filing to be able to get that many resumes processed.
And so there are a lot more resumes because it's easier, so a little bit harder to stand out. And as you just mentioned, there are sometimes these screens in there, these questionnaires. How far do they go? How far are they trying to go in assessing, you know, your personality or aptitude?
Well, that depends on the company and that depends on the organization. There can be complete assessments, whether it has to do with psychological or personality or other type assessments, depending on the position
level. Then there are some of just general questions, asking maybe what you're looking to do or what you're looking to best get out of the organization, some pre-qualification questions. And there are ways to answer those questions that are most effective for a person that's looking to be hired. But there are different levels to that, and it really depends on the position you're going for.
John, a major, it sounds so impersonal, and I have heard from younger people who are trying to enter the job market, doing online applications, and it seems they just go into the ether and they never hear back. They don't get a letter back. They don't even know if it was received. Is this the way it's trending?
I think it is, and as Dave alluded to, I mean, part of the difficulty that employers have is that because applying online is so easy, and also because, you know, what you see are a lot of candidates who are indiscriminate in what they apply for, so you get a lot of resumes of people that don't have the qualifications, so an employer has to have a way to manage that. My preference is always to have an employer respond and at least acknowledge that they got the resume or the application, but that doesn't always happen. So, you know, from that perspective, you do have to get personal as a candidate and try to find ways to confirm and, you know, use networking techniques, which I'm sure we're all going to talk about, to try to make a connection in the organization so that you can stand out. And that's a way that you can bypass some of the process and try to make that personal connection.
And Ben Naveau, I'll ask you the same question. What else is different, I guess, about the process for applying for work that's different now than it was, 20 years ago?
Well, the number one change, like we've discussed, is the online applications. Companies are using online applications tools to screen candidates. They're looking for keywords, industry phrases, and it's very, very important that the candidate look at the job posting, identify those keywords, and use those words in their resume and on the application.
So is that, you mean like industry jargon that only you would use if you knew something about the job you were applying for?
Pretty much so, yeah.
And these are, so if the application, if this computerized screening tool doesn't find that, you end up in the also-ran pile.
No, you're in the Ethernet. You're out there.
So you need to know what those keywords are. How do you play the game?
You have to read carefully. Read the complete job description. Read the posting. Look at the position requirements, the experience levels required. Make sure that you're matching. For example, if they're looking for 3 to 5 years of relevant experience, make sure that experience is indicated on your resume or your application.
Yeah. So David, is that it? You've got to know what these screens are looking for.
Well, yes. And there are two other parts I would add that are new. We're seeing more and more companies do phone screens and video screens, which is in advance of doing interviews via the web. So especially if you're at a distance, people could Skype. Or as we have heard recently, you go into a booth and you have a camera you look at and somebody interviews you on the other side. I'll even tell you that there is, and I know this is going to sound controversial, but there is right now a robot being designed to interview that will also assess your personality, your sensor, your methods, your breathing, everything. And it's actually online. You can actually see that it's something that is coming, but it's a few years out.
And has that – so it hasn't been tested. We don't know
HR – No, it's in the product development stage.
Right. Because it does seem – I don't know. It just flies in the face of common sense that the process of hiring is a very personal and human. You need to really experience a person in their entirety, don't you, to know whether they're going to work out in a job setting.
No, you're right. I mean, the reality is there is a – what is this doing? This is pre-screening the applicants. Because of the number of applicants, because of online, it's really made it essential. I mean, there are some companies will tell you, local companies here in Maine, that have posted a position and received 1,000 applications or 1,000 resumes. By the way, that's not 1,000 qualified resumes. That's just 1,000 resumes. And think about the time it would take to process 1,000 resumes. And so that's why they use these systems.
Sure. As I said, I haven't applied for work in a long time. Hopefully I won't have to after this program. But I have hired some folks. And I am surprised, Jonna, by how many people will in their cover letter say, I've never done anything close to what you're looking for. but I believe I'd be a good candidate. And while I admire the spirit and the love of the craft that we do, I am sort of surprised that people would make the effort to apply for something they'd never tried. Does it work? And is that why sometimes, once in a great while, is that why people do it?
My personal opinion is that it doesn't work unless unless you can demonstrate some connection to how you've had something close in that experience, or as I said before, to be able to get an introduction into the organization through another person who can see maybe more of your personality, can-do attitude. But if I'm looking at, 50 applications for a job, I want to see a cover letter that is specific to my job, references specifically the skills that I'm looking for, and help me make that connection within about 30 seconds that you've got the skills that I have.
And you can tell when someone has simply replaced the fields in a generic letter,
yeah,
because there's nothing about the industry, the company, the people,
right,
at it, the job.
It actually, I mean, if you're going to do that, I think it for me, it hurts you more than it helps you, because I see that you haven't put the effort in. And, one of the things that we talked about with the need to look for keywords and whatnot is that anytime you're applying for a job, you have to look at that as a customized search for yourself. And so not to just send out a blanket resume and a blanket cover letter, but to make sure you've read the job description and maybe even tweak your resume to make sure that if you've got experience in those areas, that it really is highlighted and that those words are in there so it can get through a screening process. And again, also to mention that in the cover letter.
Yeah, Ben Naveau, I've seen in the past attempts to be more creative with resumes. I remember it began with fuchsia colored paper. That was supposed to stand out or something in the pile of resumes back when they were sent on paper. But also just alternative forms of resumes where you put up, that you were an outgoing person or you were inventive, and buried below was your education and qualifications. How much has changed in what we should put in a resume or not put in a resume?
Well, those are all great soft skills or used for a soft sell. But at the end of the day, skills, qualifications, experiences need to be evident in a resume. Companies are looking for skills. Are looking for skilled employees. It doesn't matter what craft the person's pursuing, what trade, what industry. They're looking for skills, looking for tools to help them run their business.
And David, you mentioned earlier that there are sort of tricks to filling out these online applications to maximize your chances of making it not only through the screen but making the final cut. Talk a little bit about that,
I mean, it's the same answer I'd give in terms of a resume. I agree 100% with what they're saying. I would add two things. I would say, one, you need to be thinking about accomplishments. What have you done? It's great to have skills, but when I'm thinking from an employment perspective, I want to know when I'm looking at a resume or seeing when you fill out the information online, what have you done with them? What's the results of what you've done at the previous organization or company? So I could say that I have the skill set of being a great accountant. That's great. So does 100 other people. What have you done with that accounting skill? What are the results you achieved in the last 2 or 3 years? What are the highlights for that? So I'd say online as well as in terms of the resume, you want to be really focused on what it is you've done with those skills, because the skills are critical, the experience is critical, but it's what you've done with it that an employer looks at you and says, oh, that's the difference between you and somebody else, is that you've actually done something with that information. And so that's one of the biggest tricks to be looking at.
Is there a place to I'm still intrigued by this keyword search. The screen. How do you go about trying to do you infuse your application with as many sort of industry words as possible? Or
there are ways to look at an application, because to their point, the one resume fits all has died a few years ago. You really have to look at that top half of your resume, because when you open up a Word document, you only see the top half. Right, when you're doing it, that's the only thing that's really important in real estate. Because if you go over and to look at the rest of it, somebody has to scroll, and that takes effort and time, and that's not going to happen. So if you haven't got someone's attention in about 6 seconds, which is the new test on a resume, using the keywords helps them determine, and the systems determine, that you have the right words and the right skills.
Yeah. Do employers pay attention to cover letters, really, or do they go right to the resume? And if that looks interesting, then they go to the cover
letter. Yeah. I mean, my approach is, on behalf of employers, is that I will do that six-second look at the resume. And if it looks like there's some connection there, I take a quick look to look at the job history to see if there's been good continuity of positions. And then if it meets that test, then I'll go look at that cover letter, and I will I want to see that they've referenced specifically the job that they've applied for. So again, it's not just a one size fits all. The company that you've applied for and why they're interested in that company, and I want just a short paragraph or two telling me why you think you'd be a good fit. Some cover letters can go for 2 pages, and it's not going to get read. And I'm likely to just pass on it.
Yeah. So let's say, Ben, you make the final cut, and you're up for a phone interview. A common problem is that people kind of don't prepare or blow it off. Or what are the common mistakes on phones?
That is the common mistake: lack of preparation. A telephone interview is equivalent, in my opinion, to an open book test. You've had the opportunity to research the organization. You understand yourself. You prepare a personal marketing plan. You're selling yourself. You're selling your skills, your accomplishments, and your potential contributions to an employer. There's no reason to fail.
And there are some standard questions that usually come in a phone interview. You should never be blindsided by what would you do in the first 3 weeks of if you were given this job, and there's silence. Or what do you think of our current strategy that you've seen on our website? Nothing. It's sometimes surprising that people haven't done basic research on you. So,
it's extremely surprising.
Yeah. But the phone can also be, David, a tricky I'll put it this way. In the same way that email can be misleading, phone conversations can give you an impression of someone that is not as accurate as they will be in person.
That's absolutely true. I mean, look, you're trying to communicate. If you talk about paper being one-way communication, phone is all about tone, inflection. You have to sound energetic. You have to sound enthusiastic. Some people who are more monotoned, it's a little harder. You have to, gear yourself up. We talk about sometimes the Disney model. You got to look excited even when you may not be, right? You have to always be on point. And your voice has to inflect it and say it. That can be tricky for some. You're absolutely correct.
And silence, maybe you're thinking carefully about the answer, which is a good thing, but it may, who knows? So we fill the gap and we may think, you're filing your nails and are not interested.
Well, so and the other side of that is a candidate who doesn't have a verbal or a visual cue from the interviewer, and they just keep going and going and going, and you have to reel them back in. And
right.
So it's a very challenging setting, and I always try to keep that in mind and give the person the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more tips on how to stand out. And we'll start when we come back on once you do get to the interview stage, how to maximize your odds. We'll be right back.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Hi, this is Carfax. You already say, show me the Carfax. But now you can say, show me millions of used cars for sale at the all-new Carfax.com, where now you can search with the power of Carfax. Want cars with no accidents reported? You got them. Used cars that are well-maintained? You can find those too. Even one-owner cars are just a click away. Plus, we're the only site where you get a free Carfax report with every car for sale. So, find the cars you want, avoid the ones you don't. Start your used car search at Carfax.com.
At the U.S. Postal Service, we deliver to every address in America.
So when it comes to packages you need to return, for whatever reason,
don't go out of your way to return it.
Because we'll already be there, delivering your mail.
Like we do almost every day.
So it's easy for us to pick up your returns.
Just print a label,
schedule a free pickup,
leave it for me,
me,
or me,
and we'll return it for you. For more information, visit usps.com/returns.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Keith Shortall. Today on the program, The Modern Job Search. With me in our studio, David Chulo, President of Career Management Associates. Ben Niveau is with the Maine Department of Labor. And Jonna Major, President of Cornerstone HR. We invite you to join the conversation. The number is 800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. Email talk@mpbn.net. Tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. Let's say we've done a good job of getting through the phone interview, the phone series, or Skype or whatever it is, and we've been asked for a personal interview, David. The conventional wisdom is jacket and tie, suit and tie, look nice, be punctual. Has anything really changed when it gets to this level?
Not on the punctual part. I will tell you that is probably one of the most important things you could singularly do to make sure that you go in and be punctual. The other thing I would add to that is a smile does not hurt, right? I mean, that's a basic thing. And a good firm handshake, something that really tells the interviewer that you're happy and pleased to be there. The part I would add in terms of, you know, suit and tie is that it depends on the position going for. I mean, it really, really depends on that. Think about this. I'm going to go work at a manufacturing facility, and I'm going to be working as a project manager there on the floor. Will I be wearing a suit and tie? Probably not. So you want to really think about what the role you're going after is and what exactly you're looking for to make that role happen. So you want to look a little above that. So it might be a tie with a pair of khakis and a nice button-down shirt. It might be a polo. It depends on what it is for that position specifically.
Yeah. At this level, Jonna, have things changed much, the personal interview?
No. I mean, I think it's knowing where you're going so that you can be there on time. I've had people say, yes, I practice driving there so that I know exactly where I'm going to go and to make sure that I'm on time and, you know, to give yourself enough time to not get stuck in traffic and to let the employer know if you are going to be late, you know, to give them a heads up so that they'll know. And if you're uncertain about the dress code, you know, because as David pointed out, you know, showing up to a manufacturing organization in a suit and tie could be off-putting. So check with the person who arranged the interview if there's any question in your mind, but always err on the side, I think, of being overdressed.
Right, yeah. Right. Any other tips, Ben, about the...
I agree with everything my colleagues have said. Don't rely on GPS or MapQuest. Mm. Drive the route a day before at the same time of day. Account for traffic. Be early, not just on time, but 15 minutes early. Treat everybody with respect, the utmost respect, a smile, a handshake. Greet the receptionist. Be nice. Employers hire people they like. Likeability is a key factor with interviews.
Can you ask about salary in the first interview?
I would not. I would always let the potential employer make me an offer.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to add to that if I could. It's interesting. I agree with him 100% because here's the response that I give people who ask me about salary. The response is, let's get the employer interested in you first. If they're interested in you first, then you get a better chance of getting a higher salary offer than if you just ask them up front where they really don't know you yet. So let's get them really excited about you because it's really about the employer first, not the employees. That's sometimes hard for people to take. They're like, well, it's about me. No, it's not. It's about the employer first. Then it's about you.
What about other conditions? Can you say, for example, can you say, well, am I going to have to work week? In other words, do you have to be careful about asking, sort of showing your hand that you're maybe touchy about your working conditions or what you will and won't do, even though you do want to know what the expectations are? Do I have to work weekends? Do I have to drive far? That sort of thing. Do employers really want to answer those, or do you come across as, you know, being...
Well, look, I'll stick with what I said initially. Let's get the employer interested in you. So those type of questions are really almost second type interview questions. Sometimes you can ask the employer, so tell me about what a typical day in the life of my job will be. Tell me about an opportunity of what I would be doing. And you can get a feel at that point for what it is. Now, if in the job description or in the ad it said will travel or it gave you a cue, then you might say something to the effect of, hey, I noticed in the ad it says I'm going to be doing some travel. Could you explain that to me? Open-ended questions work best.
And I'm guessing it's good to ask questions of your interviewer to show interest in them.
Yes, absolutely. I think one of the most important things is it shows that you're really trying to evaluate the opportunity as well. And so it is a two-way street. You want the employer to be interested in you, but this is your job to interview the company to make sure it's going to be a good fit for your criteria. You know, so if it is going to be a lot of weekend work or night work and that doesn't work for you, to understand that. But understand what the company culture is like, what's your boss's communication style like, what does it feel like to be part of that team. So, you know, to come prepared with at least a few questions at each stage of the interview that can help you create an understanding of that employer and whether it's truly going to be a good fit for you is impressive to the employer, but it's also a really important step for your assessment of the job.
1-800-399-3566. We'll go to Bangor and Margaret. Hi, Margaret.
Hello there.
Hello.
Hi. I have a question about a book that I read. It's called Quiet. I'm wondering if either of you have ever heard of the book. It's written by a woman lawyer who considered herself to be an introvert, and the difficulty she had selling herself as a lawyer, where you want someone who's aggressive to be aggressive and all of that, given that she's an introvert and her way of dealing with people is very different. She's not real chatty. And I've had a little bit of that experience as I've gotten older. I've actually become more introverted, and I don't get real chatty with people. I don't talk simple talk. I stay focused on what I'm doing. And I find that some people are really offended by that.
An outwardly, yes, I was going to turn it to the panel. David, we'll start with you. Personality obviously matters. You want to show enthusiasm, but you don't have to be wildly outgoing. You can be measured, and if that's appropriate for the job and your employer wants to build a team of different personalities, I'm guessing it's better to be yourself than to try to be something you're not.
I think we would all agree that you have to be yourself. Now, there is an element to sales of all this. The fact is when you're interviewing, you're selling yourself. And some people who are introverted may have a little bit of a harder time doing that. But if you know your material and you know what you've accomplished, it's okay to bring some notes and have some things to rely upon to talk about yourself. But smiling and having a personality isn't something that an introvert should have trouble doing. It's different if you're talking about being chatty Cathy or, you know, having that chatty part of it. But sometimes it isn't appropriate for the position either.
Is it okay to say, gee, I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous, to be honest that way?
Absolutely. You know, I think when I'm conducting an interview, I want people to be comfortable. I want people to be relaxed so that they can bring their best and complete self so that I can see who they are. Because you know, not all positions require extroverts. And in some cases, an extrovert in a position would be a horror show for the employer. So, you know, I think to try to relax, and if you're either nervous or if you need a minute to think about your response to a question, to say, give me a minute so that I can just think about that. So don't feel like you have to rush. And hopefully, you know, the person who's interviewing you is going to do a good job helping you to feel comfortable and creating that environment where you can be safe in just being yourself.
Yeah. Ben, you were nodding your head.
I am. I'm in complete agreement with what my colleague is saying. But I'd also like to add that perhaps for the introverted interviewee, bringing a portfolio, examples of his or her work to the interview may benefit as well.
Yeah. Margaret, does that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to Alice in Raymond. Hi, Alice.
Hello.
Hello.
I am recently unemployed from a major hospital here in Maine. I moved back to Maine a couple of years ago from out in Colorado, where I worked for a hospital in IT. I've also worked as a nurse, but I no longer have my RN. I've worked in IT since the 90s. And at this point, I'm trying to simplify my life, but it's like the hospital where I worked, it wasn't a good fit. When I interviewed, you know, I asked, how many hours am I going to work? And they're like, oh, 40. That was not what was expected at all. So there was some dishonesty in the interview. Because I did ask, because I know, you know, my limits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Someone's also asking on Twitter the panel's thoughts on postings that ask for your salary requirements with your letter. So this goes back to, you know, you should be honest and say, this is what I'm willing to do. Or should you just say, no, I'll do anything and then work it out later?
It's always a tricky game that we play around salary. But it's also, it's important for you when you're applying to jobs to have a rough idea of what that job pays and, you know, whether that's going to be a comfortable salary range for you. And, you know, there are a couple of ways that you can do that. The Bureau of Labor Statistics has a website called onet.org where you can get a rough idea of a job, salary.com. So, you know, as an interviewer, I don't want to waste my time talking to somebody who wants to be making $75,000 if my job pays $45,000. So again, it's that give and take of trying to find the right fit. But I know it can be difficult through the online application process to kind of bypass that. But you've got to, you know, I think to do your homework, to understand what a job pays so that you have a rough idea, and then you can put a salary range that's going to be comparable to what that job is worth. But I'd be interested in your opinions on that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you two things. One, we coach people in terms of individual career coaching to when the online system asks if you can bypass, great, but most you can no longer bypass. And so we look at two things. Typically and historically, if you look at the averages, people want to make about what they made at their last job. Okay, and typically a lifestyle goes with that. And unless you're changing the job dramatically to something totally different, or moving to a different area of the country, that's probably your range, plus or minus 10%. That's the average. You can look at all the surveys across all the different spectrums. It's about 10% plus or minus of what you're making now. So I tell people to simply put down what they're making now. I mean, that's the best advice I can give. If you know the position's a low-level position, adjust accordingly. Be realistic with that. Now, if you're asked in an interview, what would you like to make? Then I always simply say, because it's a very, very odd question, awkward question. You're like, well, I'd like to make $1 million. I always say that. And then somebody laughs. You have a little humor. The other person laughs. And then you go, no, really, I'm making $55,000, and I would like to be able to be in that range. I'd love to know what the salary range pays. And that's the way of handling both the online as well as the individual range of the dialogue. Because going back and forth with the interviewer and saying, so what will this pay? No, I'd like to know what you pay. No, what does this pay? Does not work.
Yeah. Alice, have you been applying primarily online?
Mostly. Right now I'm still in severance and leftover PTO. But, like, I've got an appointment at the adult ed in Wyndham to do the testing as to what my aptitude is. Yes, I've worked in healthcare and IT for years, but it's like, do I want to change? I do have money saved up, so I could, you know, do more training at this point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, salary for me, at my last job, I was making over 60. My previous job before that, I was lucky to make 12 a year, you know?
Right, yeah.
So I've got flexibility.
Yeah, Ben?
Caller, I'd advise you to, I'd recommend that you contact your local career center. I believe the one in Portland would be yours. You could also research online and go into maincareercenter.com to see what some of the optional available training is for you. I would probably advise you to take a good look at your transferable skills. You mentioned that you were an RN at one time. You've worked in IT. Perhaps a lot of those skills would be transferable to the insurance industry or perhaps a billing or coding position. The medical profession is a growing field. It's probably the fastest growing field in the state. But you can go to maincareercenter.com and find all kinds of valuable research information.
All right, Alice, good luck. Thanks for joining us today. We're going to take another short break. We'll be right back.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello. I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Guys, when you buy your clothes at DXL, you look good. But you feel like a rock star. So if you want to look and feel like a... You'll find all the brands you love, waist size 38 and up, all in one awesome store. DXL, you're looking good.
You make the decision to buy the home, then you're faced with what's next. What do we do?
We started at Realtor.com.
Realtor.com gave us a lot more current information.
Listings are pulled directly from the MLS every 15 minutes.
Once you've gone through all of that, the Realtor makes it happen.
We worked with the Realtor that really knew the area.
And he knew the market.
When you have someone who has the expertise, it makes it so much easier.
Realtor.com and Realtors. Together, we make home happen. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Welcome back. I'm Keith Shortall, and you're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, tips for finding a new job. With me in our studio, Ben Nouveau. He's an employment and training specialist with the Maine Department of Labor. Jonna Major is a certified senior professional in human resources and president of Cornerstone HR. And David Chulo is president of Career Management Associates and host of the HR Power Hour radio show. Join the conversation. The number again, 1-800-399-3566. It was a long weekend. 1-800-399-3566. From Twitter, a question about LinkedIn. I'm constantly getting requests from people to join, you know, follow them on LinkedIn, et cetera. David, LinkedIn is a good social media outlet for job seekers?
It is the most important and most critical one a job seeker can be on today. The latest numbers are recruiters go 98% to LinkedIn first. Now, there has been some change in the last few months on that number, but it's still extremely high. It's in the high 90s. The fact is that it is an online resume of who you are and what you've done and who you're connected with. The reality is that if you're not there, people will go, why aren't you there? If you don't have a picture on there, they go, why don't you have a picture? So it's more of because you're not there, questions come up. So the reality is you got to have a strong LinkedIn profile. It's got to be very accomplishment-based. It's got to have something that really stands out. And to what we've talked about earlier, it has to have keywords in it as well. Because on the backside of that, LinkedIn pays recruiters to use the system and get information from to be able to data mine. And that's the key to LinkedIn. That's their biggest area of profit. So they really focus on recruiters. And so if you don't have the right words, it's hard for recruiters to find you or have the right keywords to be looking it up. So it is critical, absolutely essential. Not the only place, but an essential one.
And how important are those the connections, that those other names that appear with you that might be recognizable to an employer?
I think they're certainly helpful in it gives you a sense of your social network, your professional network. And so if I'm looking at somebody's profile and I see three or four names of reputable people that I know or know of in the industry, it's going to pique my interest. So it's important to have, to make meaningful connections. And, you know, the other aspect of that is also to have people in your network, the people that you've worked with or for, write recommendations for you that can appear on your profile as well. So again, it can really supplement the listing of the jobs that you've had in the education if people write recommendations that can talk about an accomplishment that you've had or an impact that you've had on an organization.
You know, the conventional wisdom is has been it's who you know. Is that still true to some extent, Ben?
It's always been who you know. 80 to 90% of job seekers have at one time or another obtained a job lead or obtained a job because they knew somebody in the right position. That's still true today. Going back to LinkedIn, LinkedIn gives you the opportunity to create a personal branding page. It's a personal marketing plan. The traditional resume, whether it's on paper or electronic, will have a branding statement stating just a little bit about you that an employer may look at for 6 seconds. But if you're using LinkedIn and you've got that personal branding page, other people are looking at it. They're looking at your connections. They're getting recommendations. As Jonna mentioned, the letters of recommendation on LinkedIn are priceless.
The downside of social media, of course, is that a prospective employer can find out a lot about you. Even on Facebook, if you've set it up that way, they can see what you did on the weekend and, you know, your Halloween costume and all of that, which may not be bad. But, David, you do have to pay attention to your life, you know, your online life as being something that an employer might look into with a simple Google search.
No, it's so true. I mean, one of the things we tell all employees or all candidates looking for a job is Google yourself. Don't Google yourself on your own computer, by the way. Google it on somebody else just because your own computer has your own biases in it, and Google will only follow what you follow. So the reality is you got to Google it either to see what really comes up about you. You're talking about Facebook, you're talking about Twitter, you're talking about all the other Instagram. We can go through all the hundreds of thousands of apps. Everything is open. And so even though you may say it's private, it's really not. So let's be honest about that and say you have to have a clean profile. I will say that on LinkedIn, when you're job seeking, shut off the privates part. Leave it 100% open so that a recruiter can find you. You start shutting down different sections of LinkedIn, you don't have the open format that you need.
How important, you mentioned continuity, consistency of employment. It seems though younger people are, you know, not at the same company for 20 years as many of us were, and it's not important to them. And maybe even younger employers don't put that much stock in it. Is that true? I mean, can you be a year here and a year there as long as you're young?
Well, I mean, the whole environment has really changed, and certainly in the past 10 years, we've seen the impact of the recession. And you know, I don't think I've interviewed anybody ever who's never been laid off. You know, it's just the reality of today's economy. So for me, the key in looking at that potentially short tenure is that it's not as bad as it used to be, because I think it's just a more common occurrence. But what I am going to need to hear to overcome my concerns about that is that you're clear about what you want to do now and that it's a good fit with my company. Because I don't want to take the risk that, well, you think you might like to try this and you get in and, you know, 6 months, that didn't really work out. You know, so again, from the employer's perspective, you're making a big investment of time, training, resources to get a person up to speed, and ideally you do want them to be there at least for a couple of years. That said, I do a lot of counseling with my clients to say you can't expect people to want to be here 20 years because that's not today's reality. So there's a little bit of a shift in mindset that needs to go on the employer's side. But, you know, the piece that we need to pursue is how clear is that candidate about what they want to do and is this a good fit?
Let's go to Tom in Freeport. Hi, Tom.
Hello. How are you?
Hello. Good, thanks.
Good.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Just an observation, and I guess I'd like a reflection on this as to whether this is all past tense or not. Back in the last century, I was given caution that most important 2 seconds of an interview was that handshake, and that can start things on a path that you want or a path that you don't. It wasn't that a firm handshake was any longer appropriate in assessing how well it could handle a broadsword, but it was very much in the same keeping as dressing appropriately, that knowing that if the employer knows that you are at least aware that a proper, firm, not crushing, but a firm 2 second handshake is a standard, then, and also knows that dressing appropriately is a standard, they at least have some feeling that you're of that caliber, that you're at least aware. Now, do your panelists feel that this is still valid?
Yeah. I grew up in the era of the crushing handshake, by the way, you know, with the knuckles, you could hear the knuckles cracking in a military household. And that was a measure of your character. And if you didn't do that, there was just something wrong with you. Firm handshake, a business handshake seems reasonable. But I have noticed that this even seems to be I'm surprised sometimes at how people are just not attuned to this. There are very weak handshakes. That might be my background. But
a firm handshake, good eye contact, and a thank you. Opening and closing the interview will go a long way.
And a follow-up note as well?
Yeah, I mean, it astonishes me the number of people who don't take the time after they get an interview. So again, the thing you have to remember is that an employer has sifted through 500 applications and you got an interview. So to not follow up by email or with a handwritten note is just beyond my imagination, because it really helps you stand out.
But why is that? I mean, because you might have an incredible employee with lots of skills who just might not be up to speed on etiquette, for example. But we put a lot into that at the front.
Well, you know, it's interesting. And I've spoken to a number of schools and a number of career opportunities, you know, at high schools and colleges. And another topic for another show would be that whole conversation about what goes on there. But the reality is that I remember standing in a classroom with about 40 students and talking about careers. And I mentioned the firm handshake. And rather, before I did that, I looked around. I found the biggest, tallest, footballist guy I could find in the room, and I brought him up. And I said, let's give a handshake right now. And I just did one in front of the class. And I'm not going to lie, it was like a limp noodle handshake. And I just almost was flabbergasted by that. And so the reality is they're not being taught it. And I'm not knocking anything. I'm just being real. It's even not being taught at home. It's not being taught in schools. And part of that is the problem is they just don't understand that that's the proper way of doing it in business. And so to your point, the firm handshake, the eye contact, the smile, and the thank you is critical. But part of it is the fact they just don't know.
Yeah. All right, Tom, thank you for calling. We'll go to Amy in Portland now. Hi, Amy.
Hi. Hi. Yes, I just was let go from a job in June, and I am 62 years old, and I was with the company for almost 18 years, and I consider myself very good at what I do. I've been working in the graphic design world since I was 18 years old. I've never been fired or let go from a job, and I'm finding it really hard to
try to sell myself.
Yeah, just because it's been a long time, or you...
Well, because I have not had an interview in over 18 years. I don't really know what my resume should say. I've worked in all different industries.
What advice would you give... Sorry, Amy. What advice would you give to Amy and others who haven't been in the job market for a while, who want to gear up and make sure they're doing it right?
Excuse me. I have been in the job market.
Oh, okay.
I just have not been... had to have a resume again. I just lost a job this June, and I've worked my whole life.
Sure.
So I have been in the job market. I just haven't tried to get a new job.
Well, that's what I meant, I guess, was in the market for a job. Sorry, but yeah.
Amy, the Greater Portland Career Center on Jetport Boulevard, relocated from downtown a few months ago, has free interview workshops, free resume writing workshops, great staff that can help you with the resume. Writing a resume for the 21st century, since it has been a while. When you open this your part of the conversation, you mentioned your age first. I would strongly encourage you to focus on your skills. You've got a great work experience. You got a lot of history. Focus on the skills, because the employers out there are going to be looking for your skills. Stay confident. You'll do well.
Yeah, you know, the other thing I would tell you is that one of the things we find, because we deal with a lot of people who have been with employers for a long time. And I know that when somebody goes through that, there's a little bit of surprise. And certainly it doesn't help the self-confidence that comes out of it, especially when you're dealing with the issue of age and the issue of being there a long time. So part of this is rebuilding that self-confidence in terms of understanding the process that you need to go through. So I would encourage you to learn and develop in terms of that. The other thing I would tell you, you said you're in graphic design. Take this time while you're out to maybe do some online courses to continue to increase your skill set and knowledge, because that is an area that constantly is changing.
There might be, depending upon financial situation, there might be an impetus to want to try to jump right back in. But this is a chance to take a little time and sort things out. And as David says, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's obviously a huge impact to be let go after you've been there a long time. I was laid off from a job at one point, and you know it's really important to honor the grieving process around that, and to give yourself some time. Make sure that you've got people to talk to about that so that you can process it, because the last thing you want to do is come into an interview and process it with the interviewer and just be so upset and you know, speaking negatively about your past employer. So find a way to speak to people before you go for an interview.
We sometimes underestimate what the impact that leaving a job after that long can be. It really is can be a traumatic thing. So anyway, Amy, best of luck to you. And with that, unfortunately, we're out of time. You heard there are some resources that you can turn to if you're in that situation. Thank you, Jonna, David, and Ben. Appreciate you being here. Jonna Major, Certified Senior Professional in Human Resources and President of Cornerstone HR. David Chulo, President of Career Management Associates and host of the HR Power Hour radio show. And Ben Nouveau, an Employment and Training Specialist with the Maine Department of Labor.
Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.